Our scripture this morning comes to us from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, not Ephesians. I misprinted that in the bulletin. But it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Let our hearts now receive the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we just heard the song with the children, the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And if you'll, the words that you heard to it, I mean, you can see that they come from this particular passage of Scripture. And when we think about having that joy in our hearts, and we're going to come to Paul in just a minute, but think about those places and those people that you know in your lives that just always seem to be happy. They're bubbly, they've always got something positive to say. We just talked about how children are like that. Children so often have just got a big smile on their face. They don't let the troubles of the world bother them. They don't let the news bother them or what they see in the newspaper or on television. They're just happy about what's in front of them and what they have right there at that present time. And when we look over to adults, I mean, we hear a lot of why me's. I mean, you always know the person, too, that, well, life is just horrible right now. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't do this. I can't get out, or just whatever. And the why me, or the sorrow stories, or whatever, just go on and on and on and on. And you'll notice they don't have much of a smile on their face whenever they're complaining about these things. Well, many of you have already mentioned to me this morning about a story that you saw on television about a young man that works for Rick Hendrick Racing. The man has no arms, but he didn't let it stop him. I mean, just seeing his interview on television, I mean, just had so much joy in his heart, just had this great big smile on his face. It didn't let it stop him, and he's an engineer and designs motors, I mean, basically does the design build of the motors for one of the most prominent race teams in NASCAR. But he didn't let the fact that he has no arms stop him and some other challenges. Whatever anybody else can do, he has resolved himself that he can do it just as good. And he had that joy in the way that he communicated and in his heart. And I think that's something that we often lose sight of. That when our circumstances get to the point that they're so bad in our perception, we let those circumstances take the joy out of our heart that Jesus Christ and our God, that joy that they put there. We let the world take away the gift that our God gave us. God gives us the gift of joy, but we let the world sometimes take that joy out of our hearts because we seem to lose sight of where it is that joy comes from. So when we think about bad circumstances, well, let's think about this guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul, that wrote tons and tons and tons of the Scriptures. And we think about what his life was like. He stayed in prison the biggest part of his ministry, or big part of his ministry. I mean, he just had so many challenges. And of course, we know he started off not being such a nice person, but he had an encounter with God and became a disciple of Christ and spread so many wonderful things and taught us so many things about the almighty power of God. But when he made that transition, his life didn't get any easier. It got worse from some perspectives because he ended up being in jail a lot. I mean, because he was in jail because he preached the truth through the Word of God. He preached what God was about. And so he ended up getting thrown in jail a lot. So what we see with the scripture from Philippians this morning is Paul was preaching to the Philippian people from behind the prison wall. So he's there again. He's preaching to the people from behind the prison wall about joy, because they needed to hear what it meant to have joy, because there had been so many people that were basically not understanding where joy come from, and they were letting circumstances take that joy out of their heart. And I find it ironic to be receiving a message of joy from a man whose life had been controlled by so many horrible circumstances. How is it that he stayed so positive whenever he was in prison? How is it that he stayed so positive when he experienced so many obstacles in his life? And I'll tell you how it is that he stayed positive. He stayed positive because he had God in his heart. He had the joy that God placed there in his heart, and he refused to let that joy go. That was the hope and the assurance that he held on to in the face of his circumstances. So the difference between Paul and what we experience in our life a lot of times is Paul refused to let go of the joy that had been placed there by God, where we, on the other hand, at times will let go of that joy and we'll live in the sorrow, we'll live in the pain, we'll live in the hurt, we'll live in the uncertainty. And that's a choice that we make rather than choosing to live in the joy that God puts in our heart. Brothers and sisters, I think in our life as a church that we have been reminded of so many places to where joy exists, where joy lives. And that's what we have to remember today as we prepare our hearts to go out and face the world, to keep that positive face, to keep that hope. We have to remember the places where just in this church we have experienced a magnificent joy. We've experienced the joy of the Lord's presence through the Holy Spirit here in the church. We've felt it. We've experienced it. We've been empowered. We've felt the Holy Spirit moving. That joy is there. We join together in singing. We join together in fellowship. We join together in learning and talking and mission. And as we do that, the works of our Heavenly Father are revealed. And that places a joy in our hearts. What more joy can we have about the works that we're doing than to hear what Opportunity House had to say about us this morning? About the way what you've done touched the lives of strangers. That's what joy is about. The people who receive those gifts are receiving an expression of love, because Christ has empowered this church, has empowered you to serve our neighbor, to love our neighbor, and perhaps make disciples. Who knows what will happen when these people receive gifts at the hands of complete strangers? And that's an example of how we can share that joy. We understand, as a body of Christ, that we are the greatest creation of God. We're the greatest creation of God. Why? Because we were created in His image by His hands and were fearfully, remarkably, and wonderfully made by the hands of God. So we can find and remember our joy from that, because the hands of God is what made us in His very image. This gives us joy. We explore God's call in our lives. We go in those directions that He calls us to go because we know that He has a plan for us. And we have that reassurance that God intends for good things to happen, not the bad. God doesn't plan bad things for us. God only plans the good. And we know that no matter what we face, we can hold that joy in our heart, because our God has wonderful things in store for us, that He willingly, freely, and lovingly extended the grace and mercy that only He can extend to us, not because we deserve, but because He loves us. We have that joy in our hearts for that very reason. And what we do in return is we strive to be like Jesus by living the examples that He taught, giving the way that He gave, loving the way that He loved, forgiving the way that He forgave, and offering an unconditional love to those that we encounter. We make a decision to have an attitude that reflects Christ Jesus, an attitude that reflects joy. So we receive God's word, we choose to live in a way that reflects honor and glory to God, And those are decisions that we make, but it's not always that simple. It's not always that simple. We can make those choices, we can make those decisions, but we know, and as we've said this over and over and over, that life happens. And that's when we've got to be on our guard. Because when we're trying to do the right thing, when we've got God in our hearts, and we're trying to love, we're trying to serve, we're trying to do the right things, that's when we sometimes have those temptations. And those temptations, not to go just believe in the devil and follow the devil, but we have those temptations to doubt. If God loves us so much, then why is it that we're sick? If God loves us so much, why do we have these tragedies and these things that happen that make us want to think, well, joy is just a temporary thing? Well, it's because of the temptation of the world. It's because of what the world delivers upon us, not what God delivers upon us. So our conscious effort has got to be directed at holding that joy in our heart, not letting anything take away a God-given gift. And joy is a God-given gift. Not letting anybody or anything, any circumstance, take that joy out of our hearts. Those things that can be burdensome, that can strain our relationship with God, and even question our faith, we have to say, no, devil, you're not going to do that. We're not going to let you take that. God gave me joy, and I will choose to live in that joy, in that assurance, in that eternal hope, and in the unconditional love and grace and mercy that my God gave me. It's important, yeah, amen. It's important for us. It's important for us to remember where this joy, this peace, and this love come from. And it's from something far greater than anything we can ever experience here in this world. It's through the hands of our Heavenly Father. Now we know we're not perfect. We're going to question. There are places that just get so bad, we're going to doubt at times. We're going to stumble. We do that because we're not perfect. But in our spiritual journey, our journey of faith, our journey of grace, as we seek to be made more perfect in love, our desire is to get better at it over time. So maybe we're not as good today as we were, and you probably think back on your own lives about places you've questioned where perhaps now you might not question. As we're made more perfect in love during our process of sanctification, of becoming more mature as Christians, then we see those places perhaps that we doubt less than what we've doubted in the past. And that's important. We continue to grow. And we continue to grow with the knowledge of knowing that we were washed clean through the blood of Christ, we were forgiven of our sins, and we were given a hope that gives us joy in our hearts of a bright and glorious future. We choose to live grounded in our faith through Christ Jesus. We want Jesus to be in our lives. We want Jesus to guide our steps. We continue to seek Him, and we continue to try to model the love that He demonstrated for us. But we must continue to invite Him. We need to continue to invite Him in those places in our heart where we doubt. We invite Him to be there consistently, continually, and not just at those opportune times. So when things are going great in our lives, it's easy to have the joy of our Heavenly Father in our lives. That opportune time, it's easy to be happy when things are going great. The challenge is to be happy whenever things aren't going so great. But that's where we have to simplify things. Remember what our true hope is. Our true hope is that we were forgiven of our sins, and our glory is what we'll receive in heaven whenever we're reunited with all the saints in all the glory of heaven. That's what we hold on to. So no matter what today holds, tomorrow will always be better. No matter what today holds, tomorrow will always be better for those who choose to live in their faith. But we have to give our God, our Savior, the opportunity to thrive in our hearts by the choices that we make, the decisions that we come to, by the things that we do in church, and by sharing the Word of God. We have to imitate Christ through our actions, our love, our faith, and our thoughts. So what I would say this morning about who it is that we are and what we do with the words that we've received that Paul has shared with us is that no matter what we do, Just do it in joy. Do it with a happy heart. Do it with a hopeful heart. Do it with a loving heart. Go into the world and be joyful in all things, that people might see Christ alive in you and at work in you. We continue to desire to live a life that is pleasing, and honorable in the sight of God. We desire to walk daily in a place to where we reflect the love of Christ into everything that we do, even as we face the uncertainties of this world, because we know that we are a forgiven child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God by His hands. The potter, our Savior, Jesus Christ, continues to mold us like a clump of clay and to make us into something new and something better and something that He has in store for us. So when we go into the world, we live in Christ. We live positively in the face of adversity, knowing that Christ lives in our heart. And despite this, despite the world, because we know we're going to encounter those troubles, those places of hurt, our desire is to put those burdens aside, to cast those cares to the Lord, that He may shoulder those burdens for us, that we may live in that joy. Now today, as you leave here, I would invite you to look into your circle of family and friends, to look into your circle of co-workers, and you're going to see somebody who continues to choose to live in hurt. So what do we do about it? What do you do about those people that have not been joyful for a while? It may take them a while to put things into perspective, but the thing that you can do is to model that joy that Christ intends for you in the way that you approach things, to be positive, to be loving, to be forgiving and not judgmental, and to live in a way that reflects hope. Our challenge and our call is not to let our inward attitude reflect our outward circumstance. Now think about that. Not let our inward attitude reflect our outward circumstance. We can have a real bad day over here. Our car can be broken down. The power of the air conditioner could have went off, or whatever the case. So all these things can be happening over here. But that should not take the joy out of our hearts that our mighty God placed there. So as we depart here today, let us have the joy down in our heart, down in our heart, to stay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll close.